I was asked to speak on communicating with God, the Rav's approach to prayer. The title is not mine, but I believe that the title contains a delicious double entendre, the Rav's approach to prayer. You see, one of the Rav's major theses with respect to prayer was precisely, how do we approach in our prayers? In our first source, we quote a pasuk, Vayigash Avram. Avram came to pray for Sodom, says Rashi, Hagoshel the tefillah, as we find Vayigash Eliyahu Hanavi. One of the major mysteries of prayer is how a minute human being dares to approach the infinite, the almighty, in supplication. And therefore, the Rav's approach to prayer means two things, his approach and how we approach. Indeed, in the seminal article, which the Rav printed in his lifetime, 1978, called Rayonot ala Tefillah, which was subsequently translated in English 25 years later, in Worship of the Heart, he speaks about exactly this word. My translation of the topic, Gishat Mori Rabbi Hagrid Litfilah, is exactly the word that my Rebbe used in discussing. He talks about, in that article, Hashkafeinu Hahalchatit Mechayevet Gishazu. Gisha is an approach. And the phrase Hashkafateinu Hahilchatit was elaborated upon by my Rebbe, Rabbi Shechter Shlita, 2 hours ago, for a full hour, how the Rav would extract Hashkafic principles from Halacha. And that's what we're going to be doing at this in this shir with respect to Tefillah. In Source 3, we read a Gemara which tells us that women are obligated in Tefillah. It's a Mishnah. The Gemara explains in two words in our text, derachamei ninu. Supplication is universal. Men and women have needs and therefore must pray to Hashem. You might have thought, says the Gemara, erev avokev etzaraim, it's mitzvah saseh shetzvan gerama, time-dependent positive commandments in which women are exempt. Kamash melon tells us no, it's not true. Says Rashi, that's the proper text, the Rachmei. Don't say pshita. Do'olav do'oraisahi. Rashi is clear, and the text here is clear, that tefillah, the obligation of tefillah, is rabbinic in nature. However, in Source 5, the Rif has a different text. He says, tefillah mezuzah b'chas ha-mazon, havi mitzvah saseh, shelo hazman gerama. The two words, the Rachmei, are not found in his text. And therefore, you would have thought it's a Zman Gerama. Kamash Malon, it's not a Zman Gerama. But if not, why not? Don't we have the rule? You daven 3 times a day? The answer, says the Rambam, in following the Rif, that's a rabbinic obligation 3 times a day. Women are only obligated in the Torah obligation. And the Torah obligation, writes the Rambam, is, in fact, not time dependent. It's once a day, every day. So writes the Rambam, Source 6, the Rambam tells us, the mitzvah saseh, lavod es Hashem b'chol yom b'tfilah, to serve God every day through prayer. And then he says in Source 7, the first halacha, every day, he quotes a pasuk, v'avadtem, tfilah, lavod b'chol levavchem, ein minyan ha-tfilas min ha-torah. The number of tefillahs per day is not a Torah obligation. And that's why the Gemara says in conclusion, you might have thought it's Zman Gerama. It's not. It's not Zman Gerama. On Torah law, it's once a day, any time of the day. And therefore, for this very reason, women are in fact obligated. And this concept that women are obligated on a level of the Oraisa is a very important principle not only in the Rav's Hashkafa, but in Halacha as well. Indeed, Even though, as the Rav so dramatically put it in that article, that the Rambam redeemed prayer. Before the Rambam, the set position was, and still a majority position, that prayer was only a rabbinical obligation. How could we imagine life without an obligation to pray to Hashem? It's unimaginable to us. The Rambam, Rav Moshe ben Maimon, is the one who redeemed prayer, redeemed the Jewish people. But you may say it's only a minority view. You turn the page to source number 14. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam. The Rambam says that we have a general principle that women, although they're potter from Kriya Shema Chayiv and Tefillah, and the Mogen Avraham 15 says, Kein Kosav Rambam, Tefillah is a Masei Doraisa, and they say in the morning, they say a bakosha, bidoraisa, that's enough. The efsher shegam chaychomim lochivum yoser. The rabbis never obligated the women in more than what the Torah obligates them. The truth is, this has been the time-honored practice of righteous Jewish women since time immemorial, I dare say before the Rambam and after the Rambam, to this day. And despite the protestations of the Mishnah Berurah, that women should follow the majority view in his mind, and they have to daven at least two times a day, Shemoneh Esrei, my experience tells me that the prevailing view to this day is to follow the opinion of the Rambam. Is this to say that according to those who argue with the Rambam, there's no concept of prayer whatsoever? The Megon Avraham quotes the Ramban, says that tefillah is the Rabbanan, and he says that's Rov HaPoskim. But he quotes from Smak, and the Ramban says the same thing. Mitzvah lispalel be'eis tzora. When there's a problem, a crisis, then everyone agrees there's a mitzvah to daven. According to the Rambam, it's actually a separate mitzvah in the Torah law, based on Vayosa Mechatzotos, the Rambam Hilchos Tainus at the very beginning. But the Ramban agrees to this. And the Rav, as often happened, was a little overdramatic in his saying that the Rambam is the only person who agrees that there's such a concept of prayer above and beyond a crisis. Because as his grandfather, Reb Chaim, writes in Hilchos Tefillah, even according to the Ramban, who says that the obligation of prayer is only rabbinic, based upon the Gemara, Tefillah the Rabbanon, he nonetheless agrees that one who prays fulfills what he calls a kiyum d'oraisa. There's a fulfillment of prayer on a Torah level, even if the obligation is purely rabbinic. So yes, it's true that the Rambam saved us, if you will, by making prayer obligatory by Torah law on a daily basis. But number one, those who oppose agree it's an obligation in times of crisis. And number two, as Rabbi Chaim of Brisk explains in the Sefer, even according to the Ramban, there was a kiyum d'orais, a Torah fulfillment of prayer on a daily basis and even beyond a daily basis. Whenever someone prays, he fulfills a mitzvah asay by Torah law. Now, the word approach, one more time. My Rebbe said, it's impossible to imagine serving Hashem without prayer. What does prayer express? In his words, love of God, fear of God, total surrender to God. One of my Rebbe's favorite themes, surrender to the will of the Almighty. Devekus, cleaving unto God. Zimra, singing unto God. Bichi, crying unto God. It's impossible to imagine a religious personality without these things. But nonetheless, as Rav Schechter mentioned briefly in his presentation, the Rav had a term which he used called a matir, something which permits us to in fact engage the divine, something which would otherwise be incomprehensible and almost inexcusable. How does a puny individual approach the divine? So my Rebbe has two concepts of matir, one conceptually, existentially, and one textually. And each one has three separate and distinct units. In his Rayonot al HaTfilah, for those who would like to look, my previous quote, page 244, Hashkafateinu Hilchatit Mechayevet Gishazu, this approach. The very next page, 245, is there three units, three ideas. One, it's impossible to do otherwise. Any religious person must approach God. It's not as if we have a choice, yes or no. Impossible. Hatfilah hitzorech chiyuni l'isha dati. Einu yachol latzor b'mamakei nafsho et ahagut v'taragashim. His thoughts and his feelings. Et halevatim v'hatlaot. His tribulations and his problems. Et arigotav v'kisufav. His most fervently held desires and wishes. Et yiusho umiruto. His despondency, his bitterness. Bekitzer, everything inside. You can't hold it in. Hechrecheti, I efshar l'datiyut ranana v'chaya la'achzik mamad biladeha. It's impossible to be a religious person without prayer. And therefore, you'll ask, how can we do it? How dare we do it? We have no alternative. To be a religious personality, there's no alternative but to approach God in prayer. That's number one. Number two, says the Rav, takdim, in bold letters, takdim history, historical precedent for prayer. This is what the Gemara tells us when it means that tefilos ovos tiknum, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, shachas, mincha, and maariv, the Gemara and brachas. It doesn't just mean that that's what they did. They established a precedent for us. My Rebbe dramatically explained the very first one was Avraham Avinu, but not very pasuk. Vayigash, he approached God in prayer for the people of Sodom. An act never having been done before. He was the first, our founding father. Vayigash, he had the temerity, if you will, to approach God to plead for those wicked people in Sodom, to ask that they be spared. And therefore he did it, and Yitzchak did it, and Yaakov did it. And when we walk in to daven our next Shmon Esrei, whether it be Mincha, Maariv, or Shacharis, let us remember, it's not merely a spiritual necessity, which it is, but it also has ample precedent in our forefathers, and we rely on them in all that we do. And it's this precedent, as he says, this takdim, his story, this enables us to rely upon them and to go and to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we're doing what they had done before us. And there's a third prong, if you will. He calls it HaPulchan BaMikdash, HaKravat Karbanot Kisod BaHalacha. Again, it is the Hashkafa coming from the Halacha. If you have to bring a Korban, an offering, a sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash, what does that mean? A Korban means, from the word Karev, to come close to God. You come close to God and you approach him with a ritual offering in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, similarly, we do so in our prayer. And the Rambam, as you see in the source sheets, quotes both. Tfilos Avos Tiknum and Tfilos Keneged Temidim Tiknum. These are both prongs of our matir, what permits us to go before God as humble human beings. Once again, it is the spiritual necessity, it is the historical precedent, and it is the idea of korban, of coming close to Hashem, which Hashem demanded of us in offering sacrifices. And as my Rebbe pointed out, people make a mistake and think that tefilos keneged tmidim means that tefila originated when korbanos ended. No chance. Certainly, according to the Rambam, it's a tchi of Doraisa. There was korbanos and tefilos concurrently, as the Gemara teaches us in Masechta Sukkah explicitly. And therefore, this is something which we have to do. Indeed, these are three matirim existentially. Before we come back to this theme, let us discuss my Rebbe's second idea, three textual matirim, three texts which enable us to approach Hashem and ask us for our needs. The very first is the very beginning of the Shemoneh Esrei. We know that the Rambam teaches us that there is a level of tefillah d'oraisa which requires not just a plain bakasha, a supplication, but requires a preface. It's called shevach. And as the rabbis have explained in the text that we employ, there are three brachos of shevach, avos, gevuros, kedushas Hashem, which precede any kind of bakasha for personal needs. And this is of critical importance. You have to have a verbal matir, aside from the existential matir. Hashem Sfasai Tiftach, which implies that I do not know how to open my mouth. I ask you, Hashem, to open my mouth for me. I can't do it myself. And how do you go about it? Immediately, the very next phrase, we praise Hashem, and we say, Hashem is great. We invoke precedent, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. V'zocher chaste avos umevi goal of nevenayim. It's the historical precedent which enables us to pray, and we must praise Hashem with our own mouths. We can't rely merely on what that Avram Avinu did it. We have to do it ourselves before we engage in any type of supplication. This is a direct line from Avram Avinu's Vayigash till the next Shemoneh Esrei that you and I will offer. Chas Deyavos. It's a chesed from Hashem. The first bracha called, it's Chas Deyavos. God appeared to the Avos in a very positive way. Positive way. V'salachti b'sochachem. As we'll read in less than 2 weeks, I will walk with you, amongst you, just as Hashem did with respect to our patriarchs, he does with respect to each and every one of us. A very positive concept in the very first bracha. The second bracha, as my Rebbe explained, and as Rav Shechter Shlita explained as well, is a study in contrasts. Not man as a great being, but man as a very humble, almost meaningless being. We say, Mechaya Mesim Atah, Mechal Kal Chayim Bechesed, our very lives are totally dependent on Hashem. In the Rav's phrase, a few pages later, Hagava Shokas Va'anova Tzomachas. Our sense of greatness sets and our humility sprouts forth. We begin with optimism. Vani Barov Chastacha Ovo Besecha. Thanks to your great kindness, I'm able to come into your house and pray. We quickly say, wait a minute, we're not so great. We are completely dependent on Hashem for every moment of life. He's a Mechaya Mesim and a Mechaya Chaim. We have to now turn on a different switch, a switch of humility. Indeed, the third bracha of Ata Kadosh Kedoshim is a combination of the two. This, therefore, as the Rav expressed in this Rayanot al HaTfilah, are the three conceptual materium and one of the textual materium. In his Yartzeit Shiurim, in the second volume, Shiurim 2 and 3, one after the other, suggest additional textual materium. What are these textual materium? The first one, my Rabbi explained, is Psuke de Zimra. Psuke de Zimra, as you can see in the source sheet, the last one on the first page, the Rif, Mesech de Brachas, Le'olam Yisader Shvacho Shel Mokom V'Chakach Yispalel. You can't just walk up to Hashem. You have to have Shevach. We said until now, it refers to the first three Brachas. But the Rif goes further. You say Ashrei three times a day, Muftach Lo Shebet Olam Abba. That means Ashrei, and he goes on the next page, where he says, you should have Halel B'chol Yom, which means the Halel of Psukei de Zimra, Tila L'David, the last six program of Tehillim. This, therefore, is a matir. It enables us to pray to Hashem. But in the very next year, a shiur that I do remember, very dramatic shiur, about Smichas Gula L'Tefillah. The Yahrzeit shiurim were given in our yeshiva in Yiddish and spent hours and hours. The Rav spoke about Smichas Gula L'Tefillah, that before a person davens, certainly it's true of Shachris and Maariv, although with some slight variations, you have to actually recite brachos of Kriyat Shema, which culminate in Gaal Yisrael. And look at the Rashi in Source 13, which tells you what it's about. The Doma la'ovei shomelech shebo v'dofek al pischo shomelech. You're knocking on the door. You can't just walk in. You're not supposed to walk into your own house without knocking on the door, Chazal tell us. You're going to go to Hashem without knocking on the door? You knock on the door with smichas gula l'tefillah. Hashem, you are the one who saved us from bondage in Egypt. And therefore, since you saved us, we have a right to ask, an obligation to ask, for additional salvation. Rashi quotes, you find the idea, Hashem tsuri v'goali, tilim yutes, the very next pasuk, yancha Hashem b'yom tzara. So it's not just an existential idea of knocking on a door, it's also based on Sefer Tehillim, a theme my Rebbe often had, to combine the psukim, the text, with the very important hashkafic principles which they illuminate. Therefore, in the first part of our presentation today, and again, I apologize, it's a tipa min hayam, it's one drop in the Rav's approach to prayer, but I'm very limited by the time that was given to me. So let's just review what we did until now. We explained that the Rav held the Rambam to be his hero, who saved prayer, because without the Rambam, we would be mute, we wouldn't be able to express ourselves appropriately. It's a bit of an overstatement, as the Rav himself knows that the Ramban agrees in Eis Tzara, and as Reb Chaim said, as the Rav certainly knew, the Ramban agrees as a kiyum, a fulfillment on a Torah level, even without an obligation, but the Rav felt the obligation is also important, and as Rav Moshe Bar Maimon, who's the one in a minority position, who, in his words, saved tefillah, and saved us by giving us the mandate that we have to daven. How do we approach? Again, the word approach is a double entendre. How do we approach Hashem as mere mortals in front of the infinite? The Rav had three conceptual approaches. Let's briefly review. One, we have no alternative. You might say, we have no alternative halachically according to the Rambam. That's true. But you also have no alternative spiritually. You can't contain all those feelings and be a religious person. Number two, we have historical precedent of Avos HaKadoshim, Moshe Rabbeinu and others. And three, we have the paradigm of the korban, where we are told, come into the base of Mikdash and bring a korban, even though you're a puny human being. Hashem demands this of us. And tfilos olai korbanos. Those are the three conceptual materium. And the three textual materium are the first three brachos of Shmon Esrei proper, the Psuke de Zimra, and the Smichas Geula L'Tefillah. This, therefore, is a very brief synopsis of the Rav's approach to Tefillah that each and every one of us has to embrace to understand what Tefillah is all about. But now, it's very important to understand that my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal was not a person who concentrated purely on the individual. Yes, every individual is critical and is important, but we cannot dare for a moment to forget that every individual is part of a collective, part of a whole, part of Klal Yisrael. And let us therefore turn to see some of what the Rav had to say about this concept. We understand that we pray by Torah law once a day. That's true. The Rambam is very clear in the original sources, in source number 7, we already read, Ein minyan hatfilas min haTorah, Ein mishnah tfilas min haTorah, the text is not min haTorah, Ein the tfilas man kavua min haTorah. That's exactly what the Gemara said according to his text. You might have thought it's man gerama, kamash malon. Not like Rashi's text, Rachmei, and therefore, even though it's Zman Geroma, women have to pray anyway. No, it's not Zman Geroma. Rambam says so explicitly. Okay, therefore, halacha beis, Noshim chayovim betfila. It's a zman mitzvah shelo azman gerava. What do you do? B'chol yom. Every day. But it's not just you walk in every day and you daven. Magid shavocho shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'chakach shol tzorocho v'shut tzorochem b'vakosha v'tchina. Then you have to give shevach v'odah. This is all by Torah law. The Ram doesn't get to rabbinic law until halacha dalet. And therefore, in halacha gimel, he says on a Torah, by a Torah level, you daven the best you can, as much as you can. But then he has a fascinating line. This is before he gets to the rabbinic law. V'akol yu mispalin nochach hamikdosh b'kol mokom shi'iyah. This is Torah law. You're required to face the Beis HaMikdash. What if you don't know where the Beis HaMikdash is? And what if you don't face the Beis HaMikdash? So my Rebbe said, we'll get to it a little bit later, that the reason why we have to daven towards the Beis HaMikdash is very, very important. It's very important. We pray towards the Beis HaMikdash, Shebeisi Beis Tefila Yikore, L'chol ha'amim, for all nations. I'd like to digress for one moment to say that my Rebbe had a number of differences in the text that he employed in his davening from the one that I, for example, employ in Nusach Ashkenaz. I believe that the majority of these changes are from Nusach Agra. We know the Beis Harav, my Rebbe's family from Chaim Voloshina, followed the minig of the Gra. But I believe there's at least one I do not believe has a precedent in the Gra, may have no precedent at all. My Rebbe used to speak about it from time to time. There's a dispute between two different texts in the Bracha of Shomea Tefillah. We say, Ketah Shomea Tefillas Amri Yisrael Barachamim. Nusach Ari, Ketah Shomea Tefillas Kol Peh. Rebbe was critical of Nusach Sfar, we call today, which is Mishka Babbles the two together. Tefillas kol peh amcha Yisrael. He said, this doesn't. But my Rebbe was disinclined to decide which one was right. Did something amazing. He said both. Those who remember the Rav Zavni, that was stood out. He'd say both. Both amcha Yisrael barachamim and kol peh. Because he said the Beis HaMikdash has a dual function. It's a center of prayer, of course, for Am Yisrael primarily. But you cannot omit the fact, as Nusach Ari has it, tefillas kol peh. He had both. That's why you have to face the Beis HaMikdash. Very, very, very important. Let us go on and see how this fits in to the second theme of my presentation for today. By facing Yerushalayim, everybody, you're facing from the north, south, east, and west, this is mitzaref everybody together. It's a din d'oraisa. A din d'oraisa. You may say, well, if that's the case, why can I fulfill the mitzvah without facing Yerushalayim? If I need to be mitzuraf to all of Klal Yisrael, the Rambam writes explicitly that this is not what we call in our language ma'akev. It's in source 10. Nochach hamikdash keitzad. You face the Beis HaMikdash. You're supposed to do that. But if you can't, you can't. It's not ma'akev. What if someone doesn't know which way is Yerushalayim? What does he do? Yechavein, the last line, es libo kineged hashchina v'yispalel. So your body may not be facing Jerusalem, but your heart is facing the divine, is facing the Shechina, wherever the Shechina may be. This, in fact, according to my Rebbe, is mi'akev. Has to be. You have to be Kineged Hashchina. If you're not Kineged Hashchina, you are not fulfillment of the mitzvah. This is something which Reb Chaim of Brisk made popular. There seems to be a contradiction in the Rambam. In one place he says in source number 11, that as long as you have a kavana for avos, shuv eino tzarech, that's in Perek Yud. But earlier he said, in Perek Dalet halacha tezvav source 8, kol tefila she'ena bekavana eina tefila, eina tefila. It's nothing, zero. It's worthless. My Rebbe would say if you look in the very beginning of our sources, source 6, the Rambam says, "Lavodas Hashem b'chol yom b'tfila." The source in the introduction is to serve Hashem. The word tefillah is almost an afterthought, the last word. In source 7, "Lispalel b'chol yom." My Rebbe said this is a pattern. The same thing is true in the Chos Tshuva. He writes in the introduction, there's a mitzvah of tshuva, and in Aleph, he writes, you have to be mizvada, you have to confess. My Rebbe would say in these cases that the kiyum, the essential fulfillment, is in the introduction, and the practical way to fulfill it is in the body of the halachas. My Rebbe would say often, tefillah without kavana of bifnei Hashem is nothing. Rambam said so. Eino tefillah. If you mispala below kavana, chozu mispala be kavana. Finished. You can't do it. Reb Chaim explained. To know the meaning of the words, of course you should know all the words, but the first bracha suffices b'di'evet. But if you think you're not facing God at all, this, according to the Rambam at least, renders the tefillah to be completely meaningless. There's nothing to it. My Rebbe went further. My Rebbe went further and said, this is a very powerful statement. Ata kodesh v'shimcha kodesh u'kdoshim b'choyom yalalucha sela. He said, for a tefillah to be meaningful, you, the one who's praying, has to be a kodesh. We read yesterday, kedoshim tiyu, which means, in my Rebbe's trademark phrase, surrender to the will of the Almighty. That's the ultimate korban. You give up on something which you want. Whatever you want, all the various illicit pleasures of the world, surrender to the will of the Almighty. Only these kinds of kedoshim can offer proper praise. But aside from that, you have to also be focused and realize you are, in effect, facing a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Indeed, with respect to the second law, that in the first bracha of Avos, you must know what the words mean, the Shulchan Aruch writes, in source number 16, HaMespal Tzor Shechav B'chol HaBrochus, En Yochel Lechav M'kulam L'fochos Yechav B'Avos, Im Lo Kiven B'Avos, Ava B'Shek Kiven B'chol HaShar, Yachzav Yispal, as the Rambam said, you got daven again, writes the Ramah, Ho'idna Ein Chozen V'Shulch Yisaron Kavana. We don't go back. You know why? It's a very sad commentary. She'af B'chazara Korav Hu She'en Lo Yechavein, Im Ken Lama Yachzav. Why do it again? You won't do any better next time, in all likelihood. This is what he says about this halacha. What about the first halacha of facing God, realizing that? Well, that's found in the Shulchan Aruch in source number 17. Shichav and Libo, not only that, Kilo Shechina Kenegdo. And get rid of all those machshavas hatodos also. Think only about, purely about the davening. And if you're praying in front of a mortal king, a human king, how you'll be so careful not to be distracted. That's what Chassidim and Anshei Maaseh would do. They would wait till they could really focus and concentrate. Don't think about anything else. The impression conveyed is that this is the Rambam, and it's Ma'akev even b'diyevet. However, in Siv Bei, source 18, writes the Shulchan Aruch, Ma'akshav ein onu nisoren b'chol zeh, neshe ein onu mechavden kol kach b'tfila. Unfortunately, I'm speaking of myself, I don't want to accuse anybody else, but unfortunately, I would say many of us are unable to muster up this full concentration for a full Shmon Esrei that we're open to Fnei Hashem. We get distracted. We get distracted because the Yetzihara gets in. He knows how powerful our prayers can be when we're not distracted. But don't despair. My Rebbe was very careful not to despair. The Yerushalmi tells stories about Amoroim, a million times greater than us, that they would be distracted too. They'd bemoan the fact, but they kept davening. They'd bemoan the fact. One of them thanked his head for going down when he got to Modim, which means he was in another world. Thank my head for going down. I'm not even thinking about it. And unfortunately, many of us, you know, can say the thing about us, you know, like this, you know, we don't know where we are. But unfortunately, it's a reality. This doesn't mean we're supposed to do it this way. We're supposed to always try to do better. I heard at the plenary, the best architecture is the next one. The best Shmon Esrei is the next one, the next one. We always try to be doing better in our tefillah. But my Rebbe went further than that. And in that same Yortzeit Shir, he said that when you are in a community, you are in a tzibur, the Sefer Torah is a mitzaref. He pointed out that when we bench Rosh Chodesh, the Chazan holds on to the Sefer Torah and says, Chaverim Kol Yisrael, because the Torah unites all of Israel. My Rebbe points out in the very famous, I think the first Yortzeit Drasha, in the early 40s, that the ability to sanctify the month was given to Klal Yisrael. And in miniature, when we hold the Sefer Torah, this is what combines us all, Chaverim Kol Yisrael. And that's why the Rambam writes, we're supposed to face the Aron HaKodesh, which has the Sefer Torah in it. That's what we are supposed to face. My Rebbe, in the Beis Medrash in our yeshiva, the old Beis Medrash, would face the Aron Kodesh. Even though he wrote so beautifully about facing Yerushalayim, the answer is, I assume, that both of them, in his Machsheves HaHalacha, are mitzarfim, are bringing us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and bring all Klal Yisrael together. So this is Sefer Torah does it, facing, if you will, Mizruch does it. It's not clear, Rashi tells us which one is superior. That was his custom as I witnessed it. Interestingly, the Rav has an additional piece about this in a different Sefer of his. It's called Divrei Hagos Vashkofa. It's a translation into Hebrew of a drush he gave in KJ in Manhattan back in 1972 about the role of a shul. The role of a shul. The role of a shul is called the Beis HaKnesses. We are called Knesses Yisrael. V'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. My Rebbe said, in principle, in theory, all of Israel must come together to establish a proper tzibur. Since that's technically impossible, we say, v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael, this week's parsha, is enough to have 10 people. Because the 10 represent the Eda, the full Eda. It's a representation of all of Klal Yisrael. And the Beis HaKnesses, he said, very dramatically, is not only a Knesses of all of Israel alive today, but the Knesses of all of Israel from Avraham Avinu until the Mashiach, of all the generations. He wrote so beautifully. Every anonymous Jew who passed away and is buried somewhere, who knows where, from who knows how many hundreds of years ago, is an equal part with all of us and the future generations in Knesses Yisrael. This is why it's called a Beis HaKnesses, not a Beis Am. It's a Knesses of all of Klal Yisrael. Such an important thing. I remember going to the Rav's Yortzeit Drushas as a young man. My father, of blessed memory, forced me to go. Twice a year. I had to go to the Tshuva Drusha. I remember going to the Tshuva Drusha as early as 1962, because I remember which baseball game I had to miss as a result. Those who come from Brooklyn or New York will remember. And the Yortzeit Shir from the same time. And the Rav was so dramatic. And I remember this one about Smichas Gula. It rings in my ear, in his accent. L'hagid ba'beker chazdecha v'munasra ba'leles. It was like, whoo! The place was packed. Those who were never too young to witness it, remember the Lamport Auditorium, 1,200 seats, it spilled over. People were standing around. I remember one of those drushes in those early years, he said it was going 4 or 5 hours. He said, it was Gimel Shvat. He says, es geht a greise Schnee, saivazai kemenish ahem geven. We can't go home anyway. We might as well stay another hour. And he went into the AM, past midnight. These are memories from my youth. The Rav's dramatic presentations of these and yon, and many of these shirim were in fact about tefillah, about tefillah. I remember the beautiful diyukim in tefillah, not only in the Gemara and the Rambam and the Siddur and the Machzer. I remember the shirim, the Tshuva Drashas, with every word in Rambam, every word in the Machzer. And one of them he said, so distinct in my memory, about the idea of the collective. He said, we say in a Yom Kippur davening, and he was so careful. He said, every chazan, and I'm one of them, has to say the Aseder Avoda out loud, because if you say it quiet, it doesn't count. Believe me, it's a strain after a couple hours up by the Yom to say the Aseder Avoda out loud, but we do it with great love and reverence for our Rebbe. We know that he's proud of us, those of us who are following in his footsteps. And the Rev was, when he would dramatize the Aseder of Yom Kippur, it was, I can't begin to do it justice, but it's such so ingrained in our memories, in our essence. And he once made a diuk, why we say in Yom Kippur, Melech Mochel Solech Lavonoseinu V'Lavonos Kol Am Beis Yisrael. What does that mean? It's the same thing. We are Klal Yisrael. And he said, no. There are two kaparas. There's a kapara of the Yochan and a kapara for the Tzibur. And he had a whole beautiful Torah which is printed in the Alat Shuvah to explain how we can have a certain level of kapara without Shuvah, which is normally an impossible concept. He said it was a Christian concept, vicarious atonement. It's not vicarious. So we're part of a Tzibur. As long as we're part of the Tzibur, there's no way Sikoris, so we can have the collective kapara. Therefore, I'd like to conclude my shiur today with something I heard from the Rav, one of my earliest memories. I want to tell you where I heard it. I don't know if this is in print anywhere. I don't know. I'm not an expert in the Rav's Ksavim. And I say very much in humility that there are many better presenters than myself who are closer to the Rav, who were longer by the Rav and give a better presentation. I was given this command performance with this title, so I'm doing the best I can. When I was a young teenager, again, the early 60s, my parents brought me, my father and my mother, brought me to a Mizrahi convention. It was in Long Beach, that I remember, one of the hotels. I remember it was so crowded, I couldn't get into the room. I couldn't get into the room. I had to hear it from the hallway. Very clear microphone they had. And I heard this shiur from this drasha from the Rav, with which I wish to conclude. It's the last shiur Ma'ar Makomos on your sheet. The Rav is focusing on a phrase which will be the conclusion of my shiur. I'm giving you forecasting it. The phrase we say every time we finish Shmoneh Esrei. Tiskabel tzloso nevoson dechol Yisrael. May you, Hashem, accept the prayers of Am Yisrael. But as my Rebbe pointed out, no word is superfluous. What is tzloson and what is bohoson? What do these two words mean? If they mean tefillah, why do you have to have two words? He referenced the pasuk in source 19. Ani nasati lecha shemachar alachecha shelakachti miyad ha'emori b'charbi uvekashti. Yaakov Avinu says, with my sword and with my bow and arrow. Says Unklus, the last two words, b'tzelusi ubibausi. The same two words, tzeloson uvaoson. The cherev, the sword, is tzelusi, and the bow and arrow is b'usi. What's the difference between a sword and a bow and arrow? A sword has a very short range. It's very powerful, but very short range. Can no further than the reach of a human being. That's it. But it's very powerful. A bow and arrow, not as powerful, but a very long range. Someone, a good archer, can have the bow, the arrow, fly very, very far. Said my Rebbe, there were 12 bakoshes in Shmoneh Esrei. 12. Shomei Atfila is a summary. 12. Shomei Atfila, he said, is a summary and leads to Ritzei, which is a carbon. That's what we said before. It's a Torah's Tfila and Betorah's carbon. But for our purpose, we know that the first six brachas from Atachon until Baruch Aleinu are very immediate, personal, private requests. We wish to have knowledge, we want to have repentance and forgiveness, and Goal Yisrael means from our private problems, not national problems. We wish to have good health and good parnasa. All six are private. That's Tzeloson, that's the Cherev, that's the short-term need that I have. Right now I'm sick, I have to get better. I'm poor, I have to get more money, etc. But then all of a sudden, dramatic and total change into what we call today eschatology. Mashiach Zeiten. Teka b'shofa godol l'cheruseinu. Kabetz nidocheinu. We should come all together and restore proper justice in Yerushalayim, to restore the rights of, to destroy the Malshinim and restore the Tzadikim, and have Mashiach come and Yerushalayim be rebuilt. Oh, a whole different story now. This is the collective. It is this collective which is Ba'oson. This is the long-range tefillah. This is Ba'oson. And my Rebbe concluded with a fascinating theme. How in the world did Klal Yisrael survive the bitter and difficult night of exile? It's going on 2,000 years. Now it's been mitigated somewhat. We have Medinas Yisrael, etc. But for the previous 1,900 years, it was nothing. Sheer darkness. How did we survive? And my Rebbe quoted the very dramatic pasuk in Yeshayahu. Masa Duma. That's Rashi. Edom. Eli Kori Miseir. Oma Kodesh Baruch Hu Eli Kori Anavi O Amalach Mil Malchus Seir. Shomer Hashem. Ma Mi Laila. Ma Tehem Na Laila Vachashech Hazol Shomer Ma Mi Laila. How will we survive the long and difficult night, seemingly unending, of the terrible Golos of Edom? How can we do it? Oma Shomer. Hashem says, Osa Boker Vegam Laila, a phrase we know from Hamavdil. Here's where it comes from. Osa Boker. Oma Shomer says Rashi Kodesh Baruch Hu. Osa Boker, I can make a Boker in Laila for the Metukon, the Ace Kates. The Ace will be punished and will be rewarded. When? How will you get through the night? Im Tevayu Bayu Shuvu Esayu. Rashi says, Im Tevakshu Bakashaschem Lamar Akeit Shuvu Esayu B'tshuva. This is Ba'oson, not Slowson. Slowson is for our immediate needs. We need again. We need to get better. We need to have enough money to feed ourselves, etc. Whatever our private problems may be, immediate needs, that's Slowson. But the way we got through the night, when Klal Yisrael suffered so terribly with abject poverty, with persecution, with crusades and inquisitions and Holocausts and everything, how did we survive? By ignoring for the moment our personal, private, immediate needs and focusing on the bigger picture. We're part of a collective. We're part of Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael would get through the difficult night only with Ba'uson and Tevayu Bayu, but looking at the bigger picture, not only having a sword, but having the bow and arrow, which will take us to that final stage. And therefore, I conclude this shiur, as I think the Rav would like me to do it, and please answer Amen. Tiskabel Tzoloso Nuvoso Nechol Yisrael Kodom Avuon Dibishmaya V'imru Amen. Thank you very much.